We have a special treat this morning. Brother Digup from the Philippines is here. He is going to come and share God's word and the message God's laid on his heart, and also the ministry that he is working with in the Philippines. So you come, Brother Digup.
Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here this morning. Well, good morning to each and everyone. We are very thankful to the Lord and for His grace and mercy, for the opportunity to be here in your great country. And yes, my name is Emmanuel Digup, and my wife is with me. We've been married for 31 years now. And we celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary last August 20. And we were in Memphis. And during the day, and of course we have been talking about the goodness of God to our lives being husband and wife. And well, she started during the day, then she was staring at me. And I was curious. I asked her, "Why you are staring at me?" And she said, "You know what? Today, I just completed 3 rings in life." And I got curious. I asked her, "And what are those?" And she said, "The first ring I got is the engagement ring." Well, and the second one is when we got married, wedding ring. And she posed. And I got a little more curious, and I said, "And what is the third one?" And she said, "Today I just got the suffering." Well, we are very thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord for giving me a wife, and we've been in the States for about almost three months now, and we are heading back home to the Philippines on first week of December. Mother, prepare. You can prepare my presentation now. Well, I have a short video. I hope this will help you to see what we are. Oh, that's not the way. The other one. Please see the other one. Oh no, not this one. Can you find the other video in that? Yes, and. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior when I was 16 years old, when a lady friend of mine invited me to attend a church. And one day in October 19, 1980, I attended with her. And then while the pastor preaching, he preached about the love of God, that Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. And while he was still preaching, I was really convicted that I am a lost sinner going to hell. And while he was preaching, I repented of my sin and I received Jesus into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior. Since then, my life has never been the same. Then in 1982, God called me to preach and I surrendered my life to Him. Then in 1983, I enrolled in the Bible seminary in the Philippines. And during my first year in the Bible seminary, God led me to start a church. I was so nervous and hesitant.
What's the name of it?
Just see the presentation, maybe Emmanuel Digup or Emmanuel presentation, video presentation. I'm sorry about that. Okay, you can find it. Yes, video presentation. And then, and while I was so nervous and hesitant because I was just 19 years old at the time. And, but I talked to my pastor about that, leading of God, and we prayed together and the church prayed until we came to realize that it is really the will of God. And I went to a place that I never been before. I just heard the place, and then I went there and started preaching. And thank God, of course, I still considering my life as a young Christian. And I was really amazed when the people are getting saved. Until since then, in 1983, and as a matter of fact, my wife used to be, she is one of the first young people I led to the Lord. And I thank God. I believe the Lord rewarded me because he fell in love with me. We are so very thankful to the Lord for that. You hardly find anything? All right. I will just keep on presenting. Well, and then since then, up to this time, we've been in the ministry for about 33 years doing church planting. By the grace of God, out of 33 years, God allowed us to start 4 churches. And out of those 4 churches, God raised up 38 churches up to this time. Yes. All right. Okay, you can repeat it now. There is a sound on that. Oh, I think I have to go there. Just a minute, please. I need the presentation. Okay, I will just talk. Okay, you just play that, and I will just say it. I'm sorry that. Okay, you just play that from the beginning. And there is a part that we need to click. All right. This is the map of the Philippines. It is now more than 100 million people. 80% are still Roman Catholic. You can see this every Easter week as a part of their believing in God. They weep, beating themselves, face down, bleeding. They are even walking, carrying cross, 5 to 10 miles. They are even willing to be literally crucified, hoping to earn salvation. The sad thing is, it is being planted in the minds of the children. This is my family. We are all engaged in the ministry. And our ministry, church planting, this is our first missionary work. It started in 1983, Victory Baptist Church. Opened our Baptist Church, started in 1987. Christian Baptist Church started in 1996. Harvest Baptist Church in 2004. And this is our present congregation. Out of those 4 churches, up to this year, God raised up 38 churches. Our vision and goal is to bring the church to the people, to send preachers in every villages, to plant churches. Our needs is raising support for those preachers. We are in the field. We are also raising funds to finish our church building. We have 5 buildings that is going on. It's still a dirt floor, no windows, no doors yet. And of course, every amount will be greatly appreciated.
Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike off the choir, a sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. That's the value of love.
Holy Spirit has been working to soften up their hearts. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven?
Jesus, he's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. Start construction on his mansion, there are hallelujahs too. He doesn't know yet that's waiting, when the Savior he will be. He's received my song. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. Next
year, we are targeting to start 10 village church. And our goal here in doing deputation is trying to raise support for those 10 preachers that I formed. They are all preachers. They are all called by God. And now we are our goal is to start church, to plant church in every village. So our goal is to raise $2,000 to be distributed to those 10 preachers. So because we just have a very limited time to stay here in America, so what we did is this. I have this, there is a commitment card. Commitment card says that we are trying to have 200 individuals that could share $10 every month. If I have 200 individuals that can sacrifice $10 every month, then I could have $2,000, and it will be help those 10 preachers for $200 every month. So please pray for that. What is $10 every month? You just need to skip one hamburger in McDonald's, and then that hamburger will mean to help those preachers, and that will mean starting churches in the Philippines. And please pray for that. I have a card in my display in the table over there. And then secondly, of course, as you see, we have 5 churches that needs to be finished. So please, I am praying for my goal is to raise $50,000 to finish the building, and also to get one property and building for another village. So I am praying. I don't know if you can be a part. I'm just offering you. I'm just telling you that there is opportunity to be used by God on that matter. I am praying for 50 individuals that could one time give to sacrifice, to give $1,000. And if I could have 50 individuals, then I could have that $50,000, or maybe 100 individuals by $500 in one time giving to finish that project. And of course, any amount will be greatly appreciated. And please don't be surprised when you get there in our table, you will see a donation box. It is not mine, it is for my wife. And because my wife, she is engaged in feeding children. She is engaged in children ministry. And everything you put on that box, it is for her, because she's been really praying to have a Sunday school room for the children. And besides, she is also feeding them every week. We have many children every Sunday, about almost 300 children that feeding every week. So please, if you have, if you want to be a part of that ministry, please pray and do so. Please open your Bible with me in the book of Mark, chapter 2. In the book of Mark, chapter 2, in verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, known as so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, you are our God. You are the Almighty One. You are our King, the Lord of Lords. Dear God, I do pray that you allow me, use me to deliver your message. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will just touch every one of us and bless us. Give us challenge our hearts this morning. Oh, dear God, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for this church, for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your word. I just do pray that you use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I know that this is a very familiar passage in the Bible. But I know that you already heard a lot of messages, sermon coming from this passage. But I just hope and pray that God will give us something to challenge you, to encourage each every one of us this morning. As we see here in this passage, there were four people brought that paralytic person to the Lord Jesus Christ until that paralytic person got healed because of the power and because of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just have a question in this. What drove those poor men in bringing that sick person to the Lord? What compelled them to do that? So I just hope and pray in this passage that we can observe four things. So that, firstly, I believe... what drives them in bringing that person to the Lord is this. Number one, we can observe compassion. Compassion. I believe every time they see their friend, their neighbor, until they started feeling the pain, the hurt, the agony, the sighing of that person, until finally they have to decide that they need to do something for their friend. I believe the reason why when we get compassion to other people, that will lead us to do something. Because we cannot just have rest. We cannot just be comforted knowing that somebody in our presence, knowing that somebody is suffering. And that compassion, and when we have that compassion, that will cause us to move to do something for that person. As we remember, and I know we are all convinced that because of God's love and compassion, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross of Calvary. When he was there in heaven, in his throne, doing his things, until finally he looked down and seeing people dying, going to hell, spending their eternity in the lake of fire, until he decided, because of that love and compassion, he left the splendor of heaven and came to this earth, gave himself, and until that he even shed his blood because of that love and compassion to us. Remember and bear in mind that we are all the product of God's love and compassion. We enjoy life. We enjoy everything we have in our possession. And we enjoy the reading of the Word of God. We have the peace of mind. We have the joy in life because Jesus saved us. We don't have to fear. We don't have any word about hell. We do not have to worry about eternal punishment in hell because of God's love and compassion to us. Now it's about time for us to have that kind of compassion also to those people around us. The Bible says, let this mind be in you also. Since we are a Christian, meaning to say we are Christ-like, we need to have that kind of compassion also. We as Christian, we don't have to take it for granted. Since that we are a Christian and just enjoying our Christian life and neglecting those people around us, neglecting our loved ones, neglecting our neighbors, neglecting the people around the world. No, no, no. We need to have compassion. But unless we have compassion, we will just be comforted in our comfort zone. We would like to stay in our comfort zone, but compassion will not do that. Compassion will tell us, will compel us, will drive us to exert effort, to do something, to cry, to kneel down, to have tears and beg God for their salvation also.
Remember that we are all the product of somebody's love and compassion. The reason why we came to know, to hear the gospel, because somebody prayed for us, somebody talked to us, somebody bring the Bible to us and shared to us about the good news of salvation. So I believe, since we are trying to be obedient, to be faithful to God, and compassion without faithfulness is not faithfulness. I mean, faithful, trying to be faithful and without compassion, you cannot just separate compassion from being faithful to God. You cannot just separate compassion to the people for loving God, because loving God will involve compassion to other people. Because as you will see, as we see, the Bible says, because of God's love, compassion. It did not, when Jesus extended his love and compassion, it did not end it on the cross of Calvary. It keeps flowing, it keeps moving, because he is a God of love. So we need to have that compassion. The reason why we experience a lot of troubles in the ministry, especially in the third world country like Philippines. But we cannot just sit down and rest and be comforted without doing something, without preaching the word of God, without praying for those people around us. So thank be to God for his love and compassion. We need to keep on motivating ourselves to have that kind of compassion, because Jesus had compassion on us. That is, I believe, those four men, when they realize that they have that compassion, they cannot just have rest and sit down knowing that somebody is suffering, especially when they learned that Jesus was in town. We cannot just have rest in our Christian life knowing that Jesus is still in the ministry of saving souls, and people around us are begging, suffering. Their souls are crying for help. Yeah, we see them having beautiful house, driving fancy car, millions of dollars in the bank, good shape, physically in good shape. As we see them sharp, but knowing if they are not saved, we know that when they die, they are going to spend their eternity in the lake of fire. So a person who got motivated in compassion, when he see people, he see them differently. Because a Christian who is trying to motivate himself, having that compassion, asking God to give them compassion, people, to the people around us, that will help us to see people inwardly, not just outwardly. When we see people, then the Spirit of God will start telling to us that people is not saved. He needs to hear the gospel. He needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to do something for him. So we need to have that compassion. And we can pray to God. We can beg God to give us that kind of compassion. Secondly, not only compassion, but we can also observe their cooperation. It took four men. Not just one, not just two, not just three, not just four. Well, you can share the word of God alone. But what I'm trying to say in this passage is, in order for us to accomplish more in the ministry, in order for our churches to accomplish more for the word of God, it needs cooperation. Unity among the believer. Unity among the church members. Our pastor cannot do it alone. I myself as a missionary cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. But together, by the grace of God, as he is wishing Jesus Christ, he wanted to see his people working together, having in unity, working together in unity. In that way, we can accomplish more. We can do more. We can plant more churches by having that cooperation. So it took four men, because that paralytic person lying on the bed, and it was on the four, there were four corners, and each one of them holding one corner. And that is why it made them easy in bringing that paralytic person to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I am trying to say is this. We are here as missionaries, trying to pray, trying to seek those churches, having the same burden of winning the lost, having the same vision to see churches being planted all over the world. Praying that God will give us churches and individuals trying to fulfill the Great Commission. But we cannot do it alone. Just like Apostle Paul, somebody prayed for him. Somebody sent him. Somebody supplied the needs in order for him, for them to accomplish more, to reach more souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, we are all commanded. We are all under one commission. And that is to preach the gospel, not only in our Jerusalem, but to the Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world, uttermost part of the world. So partnership in fulfilling the Great Commission is a vital, is very important, because I know that this church loves the Lord. You are involved in mission. But to fulfill the Great Commission, the Bible says, all over the world. You cannot do it alone. Meaning to say is this. But we can be involved. We can fulfill it by partnership. Working together. Because if you live here, if you decided to stay here, unless the Lord is calling you to go to the Philippines or maybe in other countries to be a missionary. But still it is impossible to do it alone. How about other country? How can I fulfill the Great Commission alone? Yes, I have to preach the gospel in my own country. But the Bible says all over the world, what about in Vietnam? What about in China? What about in other countries? But we do that, we fulfill that by involving ourselves in prayer and being involving ourselves to the life of those missionaries who are already in the field, fulfilling and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cooperation by prayers, by support, by enemies for us to be involved. And you know what? This is what I observe. I know all of us will agree that the devil is working 24 hours just to destroy the work of God. The devil is working 24 hours to hinder us, to stop this Bible being spread to the world. He is a worker. He is a fighter. And if the Christian, and if the churches, if we are not involved in a 24-hour ministry, we will be get loose. We're gonna lose. Because the devil, how can we upset the work of the devil if we were just working 3 hours, 12 hours a day? But by involving ourselves in the work of God all over the world, we make our ministry working also in 24 hours. Why? Especially in the Philippines. Because Philippines is ahead of 13 hours. Meaning to say, if you are involved in a ministry in the Philippines or other countries that is ahead of time or maybe behind of time, it's this. While you are sleeping, we are working in the Philippines. Now, they are sleeping over there because it is about nighttime. But it is daytime. And tonight, we are ready. We will lay down sleeping. Then somebody of our preachers in the Philippines are preaching. So we can make our ministry working 24 hours a day. And we do it. We can do it by the grace of God, by cooperation, participating ourselves in the ministry of God all over the world. So that is cooperation. So thirdly, we can also observe their commitment. Why commitment? The Bible says when they reached the place where Jesus was, they could not get in because of the people. So many people, multitude of people, I believe they tried to beg, saying, please give us a little way. We are bringing our friend. He's been sick for so long. He's been suffering for so long. Please give us a little way. But unfortunately, the people won't let them get in. Suddenly, they were so faithful. They got tired. They have that desire. They have that compassion. But suddenly, there was an obstacle, hindrance. My dear brothers and sisters, I know all of us, as a child of God, we are trying to be faithful. We are trying to be involved. We are trying to do our job. But most of the time, we found ourselves in the middle of obstacle. There will be trials, difficulties, discouragement, financial problem, anything. And most of those are being done by the devil because the devil wants to hinder us. The devil is, what the devil is doing to the Christians is to hinder them, to stop them, to set blocks and obstacles in their Christian life. The devil has nothing to do with our salvation. There is no way for him to take away our salvation. Because we are eternally secured in Christ. There is no way for us to lose our salvation. Because our salvation is on the hands of the Lord God. But what the devil can do is to paralyze our Christian life. To make us impotent in his ministry. For us to hinder. He keeps on giving blocks. But remember, it is through the permission of God. Because the devil has nothing to do with us without the permission of God. Yes, the devil is setting blocks because he don't want you to be faithful. He cannot take away your salvation, but he can make you impotent. Improductive. He don't want you to be faithful in singing. He don't want us to be faithful in Sunday school. He don't want to be faithful in giving ourselves in the activities of the church. He don't want us to be faithful in our giving. He will do everything just to hinder our Christian life. In that way, Christians need to have commitment. We have to be committed in our Christian life, in our service to the Lord. This reminds me of our experience in the ministry. Sometimes in 1988, we were on the second church that we were staying, that we were starting. My wife and I, we already had 2 kids at that time. We don't have any support. We're just trusting the Lord. And we stayed. We live in a very small room. I think half of this. This stage is half bigger. We live there. It is our kitchen. It is our bedroom. It is our everything. We were just sleeping on the floor. We're just using blankets and it made of scrap woods and scrap cartons. But we were preaching the word of God. We were starting a church. And one night in the middle of the night, I woke up because of the heavy rain. And I saw the water started flowing on the floor where my wife and 2 kids were sleeping. Of course, I woke them up. And that night we never slept. And the water stayed for a few days. When my father learned about that incident, he came to us and said, "Emmanuel, what are you doing in this place? I told you, you are wasting your time, you are wasting your life." That time he was not yet saved. And he said, "Remember this, there is no hope in the ministry. There is no money in the ministry. There is no food in the ministry." My wife and I just bowed our heads and prayed that God will strengthen our faith. But one thing I noticed, that one thing that my father failed to realize is this. He failed to realize that we are serving a living God. That there is God in the ministry. Because if there is God in the ministry, there is hope in the ministry. If there is God in the ministry, there is money in the ministry. If there's God in the ministry, there is food in the ministry. Yes, most of the time we are struggling hard. But thank be to God. As you can see, we are still in good shape. We never miss a single meal. Because God is good. His grace is sufficient. When God allows you to be in a hard, in a difficult situation, He will supply the grace for you to endure. For you to keep on keeping on. For you to go. Those 4 men, they were already there. But when hindrances come, God opened their eyes. God told them, "Hey, why not just?" Because they have the commitment. They climbed out into the roof and uncovered it. It is commitment. But their brothers and sisters, be committed in our service to the Lord. Yes, most of the time, it is not always bountiful blessings. We will encounter, each one of us will encounter different trials, different situation.
But we need to keep on serving God, no matter what. Commitment. Fourthly, they uncovered the roof and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. This is the good part. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. God rewarded their faith because Jesus always pleases when there is faith. The Bible says, while without faith it is impossible to please God. What Jesus saw in those four men is their faith, is their confidence. Not only commitment, but they have confidence. Confidence in the person. Who is that person? The Lord Jesus Christ inside the house who is preaching. He is the Son of God. He is God Himself. And He is the Almighty One. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the great healer. He is the great physician. He is the great God. He owns everything. And Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, it is faith, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to have that faith. Jesus was so pleased upon the faith of those fervent. Not the faith of that paralytic person. That time that paralytic person got no faith yet. But the faith of those person who labored, who agreed to work together, who left their homes for a while, they left their family for a while, they left their wives, they left their children, they left job for a while for the purpose of bringing one soul to the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are really love God, if we have that compassion to the lost people, it may mean sometimes to sacrifice. Left their family. If they were working, they left their, they took off a day. Sacrifice one day wage at least for the purpose of bringing soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows. Jesus sends, and he was so pleased seeing those poor men trusting and believing that Jesus is powerful enough to make their friend heal. We need to have that kind of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we have faith, serving God will not be a burden. If we have faith, involving ourselves in our church activities and progress will not be a burden. If we have faith, even so many difficulties and trials, to be faithful in God, to be faithful in our churches, in our church, will not be a burden. If we have faith, even giving to the needs of the ministry will not be a burden. Because faith will tell you, will compel you to trust God. And tell you, son, don't be worried. Don't be afraid. I will take care of it. Just trust me. We have a good Sunday school this morning. I was so blessed about the life of Daniel. Trusting the Lord. We came here in your country, my dear brothers and sisters. My goal is to raise $2,000 every month support. Praying to have 200 individuals that could share $10 every month. Raising $50,000 to finish those buildings. And we have been for more than 2 months now. I am just on the, 12% of that goal raised. The devil says, you cannot make it, bro. You cannot make it. You will go home. You cannot fulfill what you said to your people. You will go home, nothing in your, nothing in your hands. And last night I told the devil, no, no, no. Because God, this is His ministry. This is not mine. They are His people. They are not my people. I just learned to love them. But in reality, God will take care of them. He will provide. He will provide. Because faith will say, just trust me. I will make my own way. My dear brothers and sisters, faith in God. Only faith in God. Whatever things we do, it must be done by faith. Everything we do, we have to trust God that He will take care of it. There will come a time that we need to sacrifice. But faith says, don't worry. I can replace that. And besides, whether give it or not, I can take it away from you. I can take it away from you. So it is better to trust me. It is better to obey me. Because whatever things you give to me, I have all the power to replace it. Not only just to replace, but when I replace it, I can multiply it. And He is God. But brothers and sisters, there is a great harvest going on in the Philippines. People are very hungry to the words of God. We are taking advantage of that great opportunity. We are taking advantage of that opportunity. Believe me, by the grace of God, this is what I sense. God is preparing the Philippine nation to be used of God. As of now, Philippines Baptist churches are now sending missionaries to other countries. We have now missionaries, a native Filipino went to China, Hong Kong, Laos, Vietnam. Isn't it good that when God raised Philippine nation to be a center of sending missionaries all over the world, isn't it good that when that happens, we have the privilege and opportunity and saying to God, "Oh God, thank you for giving me a little part of that mission." I am not bragging on myself. I am just thanking God for giving me a little part in His ministry. Because even without me, He will always reserve people to continue the work of God. He will always reserve. If we let the opportunity to be used of God, it's not a problem with God. If it is need be, the Bible says that even the creation, even the stone, remember when Elijah needs to be fed, nobody was around, nobody was available, but he sent the raven. Because God, He owns everything. And this is what is in my heart. When I learned, when I heard, when God showed me an opportunity to be a use of Him, I don't want that opportunity to pass on me. I don't want it. I'm getting old in the ministry. But thank be to God, I always pray that God will always give me the joy, the happiness of serving Him, regardless of any difficulties. Are you not God discouraged, preacher? I will lie if I will say I'm not. Of course, there were those discouragements, but thank be to God. Just like what I mentioned, His grace is always sufficient. My dear brothers and sisters, I just laid down to you that every soul is very important. Souls around your country, around in community. But also remember that there are souls all over the world. They need to hear the gospel. They need to be saved also. Because everyone's soul is valuable and vital in the sight of God. So whatever help, whatever things that you can extend to our ministry, you may not be able. Of course, I'm inviting you to come and see the work in the Philippines. If you can send the pastor and even some of you, please do so. I want you to preach to our people and see the work of God. But if there is no opportunity and if there is no chance, but one thing for sure, up there in heaven, when we all get to heaven, in the very presence of our God, in the very presence of our Savior up there in heaven, you will see a lot of brown-skinned Filipinos saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will come to you. They will hug you. They will kiss you. Because up there, Jesus, God Himself, will reveal what we have done while we were living in this earth. And it will be revealed that you have a part of the salvation because of your prayer and because of your financial support.
and all our people. If you can help me finish those buildings, our people will know and they will learn that there are brothers and sisters here in America sacrifice for that buildings. God bless you, El. Thank you, Pastor.
And the thing that's going to matter is what we've done with Jesus Christ. None of us live good enough to get to heaven. But Jesus lived a perfect life on our behalf. And he offers salvation to as many as will put their trust in Jesus. The Bible says Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that God the Father saw the travail of Jesus' soul and was satisfied. That satisfaction made it possible for Jesus to offer salvation as a free gift to me, to you, and to everybody else. All over the world there are people who need to be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus is ready to save you.
Yes, amen.
He says that as many as will receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is your invitation. If God has laid something on your heart that you need to get right with him, the altars are always open up here. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. We stand ready to help you with that. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you for the message that we have heard. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again that you're at work all over the world, that you are ministering, and that you are saving souls. Lord, I pray that you would bless this ministry. Lord, that you would raise up men to preach your word while the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is falling upon those in the Philippines. Lord, we realize that without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit drawing men to you, there is no salvation.
Yes.
Lord, we realize that in America we're seeing a time come when people are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and see no purpose for a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would turn back the clock and that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon the rich of our world.
Yes, God. Amen.
Lord, that they might see that without Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Lord calls them to have a hunger for salvation. We might lead them to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.